And so it is, dear Shambhara, that we enter into your space of gathering, your sacred Shambhara room here. It took a bit to get in today, for the energy is so high and so lively. We had to find just the right energetic pause to slip in, to be within Kaldra and to be within each of you. Oh yes, we are as much in you and with you as we are with any of the others in the room. Take a moment to feel how we can be so present inside of you. And when we say inside, we're not just talking about your physical body. We're talking about a union where we put our energies together with you. We're talking about a melding of consciousness so that together, every one of you, even if you are brand new here, even if you have never listened before, we are connected with you and you with us so that we can bring this message back to you, back to other humans. So many, many other humans will walk along this path that you have created. Many, many humans will come this way, searching for their own identity, their own truth, their own self. What you are doing right now by joining together with all of us is to help create that path. But it's not just for other humans, you know. There are legions of angels in the heavens that have never taken on embodiment in the earth. They're waiting. They're waiting for the right time, the right space. They're waiting to be in the shoes that you have walked in. They're waiting to learn what it is like to bring their energies into matter. They're waiting to taste food. They're waiting to live within the framework of time and space. They're going to be doing it to gain that experience, to come to a better understanding of themselves. It is a tremendous thing that you have created here, this whole stage of earth. You create it so you can come here and relive your experiences. Experiences that you had when you were a non-physical being, relive them here. And as you relive them, you gain a different understanding, a different perspective. It would be like taking a picture. And then being able to go back into it 10 years from now and walk right back into that picture and relive it. But yet in a different way. And the different way here is the material, the slowed down energy, the gravity, the density. You come back to relive experiences here. Shambhara, we are amazed at you sometimes. Kaldra is accusing me of doing my fluff work here, but but you deserve it, Shambhara, for we are crossing into some new territory. We are going into new energetic realms, coming to a place where you can be a human here on earth and then integrate all of who you truly are. We know there are difficulties in this. We know there are challenges. But we know you are the masters of energy work. You were long before you ever came to earth. That's why you were the first to come here. Masters of energy work. You come here now to spend all of these cycles of lifetimes on earth, learning and experiencing and growing, helping to form new dimensions. You come here to be the first to go through this, and now you pronounce, you proclaim that it is time for you to release yourself from that. That's what this lifetime is about. It is a lifetime of fulfillment and completion. It is a lifetime when you end that cycle of karma. A lifetime when you say, I'm ready to get off. The lifetime where you bring every element of yourself back in, reintegrate. We've talked about this before. There are parts of you all over creation. Parts of you buried in the earth, on this planet. Parts of you that exists on other planets in your universe. Parts of you all over. You are integrating all of those in this lifetime, bringing them all back in. Yes, it gets busy, it gets crazy sometimes because there are so many aspects asking for your attention. So many aspects wanting your acknowledgement. So many aspects that have wounds that want to be released. You're doing this all now in this lifetime. Incredible work. You have called upon the resources of many of the councils, the Crimson Council, specifically your family, the councils of Mikael, of Metatron, Raphael, all of these other groups to assist you. You're feeling their energies all around. They are there. They are working with you. There are Shambra all across the world who are going through this with you. Their experiences are surprisingly similar. In a way, their experiences are yours, and yours are theirs. There's not many, if you consider the total population of Earth, but there are enough Shambra taking this different road. Not a better road, not a higher road, just a different road. A different road of understanding and enlightenment. Facing the issues, facing yourself, going through what could normally be very, very difficult, difficult times, but you are doing it. That is why we are here. You live in interesting times, very interesting. We talk about this event in September 2007, a quantum leap of energy, a time where energy reaches such a point of spiral, point of expansion, that it changes the nature of itself. It changes the very consciousness of humanity. Shambra, you are preparing yourself for that right now. You are preparing it ahead of time so that you can then be the teachers for others. Teachers in ways you could not possibly even imagine right now. It's interesting for those of us on our side to look at Earth now. What is taking place? Look at the issues. The issues that have been very predominant in your news lately are about death. About death. Here in America, there's been this case that has brought so much attention to the news. The one with the dear woman who has been laying in a type of comatic state, a dormant state for 15 years of time. Look at all the controversy being raised. Should the tubes be pulled or should it be left in? Look at all the issues this is bringing up. Should you support life or not support it? Who has the final authority? Who has ownership, so to speak? It has brought up issues about the right to live and the right to die. It has become a political issue as well as a religious issue. It has caused the nation and the world to focus the attention on death. On death. It is something you all go through, but yet something that is not spoken of very often. Something that most people would rather not think about, but yet every human, at least to this point, has had to face it. It is covered up. Sometimes it is sugared up. Sometimes there is so much fear around it. But now there is a consciousness, a new consciousness about it. And about the right to die, the right to have a graceful and dignified death. It brings up issues. Death, doesn't it? Because death ultimately brings up belief issues. That is what is happening right now. Belief issues are coming up. Belief in spirit, belief in a life hereafter, belief in heaven versus hell, belief in the relationship of human to God. All of this is coming up. Such intense focus on death. It's amusing to see that there are those who fight for life at all costs. All costs. But yet would kill in order to have that right be executed. Very interesting times. You live in times of paradoxes and ironies. You are finding it within yourselves, and now others are finding it also in themselves. There's this my prediction of the death of the Pope. And I hate to come before this group of Schomburg and say, I told you so. But indeed I did prophesize this, and let the record tell the truth. But Jambra, you know and I know the energy and the essence of the Pope left a long time ago. The body of the Pope and what is left of the mind has been kept operating because the Pope is a symbol, is an icon of the church that is having great difficulty right now. And it was felt if the Pope left that it would cause such a turmoil in such turbulent times that the church may not be able to withstand it. And now the Pope, for these past number of days in particular, going through the suffering, a reflection of consciousness, that is all Carl is doing, just a reflection of consciousness. Suffering, because humans think that there should be suffering before you go to heaven. Humans think that life is about suffering. So the Pope, responding to the needs of those who follow that way, is suffering. It's going through this difficult and traumatic time. His face is putting so much attention now on death. When are you no longer living? What should be done to support a human body? What is the human body? All of these questions come up right now about death. Focusing worldwide consciousness. It is quite amazing for us to watch. The attention that is paid to this news, it is wonderful because it causes people to begin thinking of these important subjects. At another level, they're not just thinking about the death of the body. They're thinking about the death of themselves. They know, Chambra, as you know, that even their old story has to die. Sooner or later, they have to face who they truly are. They can pretend through series of lifetimes to be something else, but sooner or later, they have to face their stories. They have to allow a type of death process to occur. And you know what that is like. You have done that. You allowed the death of yourself. You have faced physical death. You've pondered it. You faced the death of yourself, and it feels like death. It hurts on the inside. It hurts on the inside to let go of who you thought you were, to let go of the illusion that Adama spoke of. Continue to watch the news in these next few months of time for some of the interesting development, some of the focuses on very pertinent issues that deal with human consciousness. Continue to watch how it develops a momentum up until September of 2007. Watch how there continues to be more separation rather than unity. Seems to be more black and white versus a melding together. Watch how people very emotionally take sides. We know you're beginning to get it because you've gone through all of this yourself. We know you're beginning to see that what you have gone through in these past 5 or 10 years of time, humanity is now just starting to go through. They're going to do it in a little bit different way and a little bit different timetable than you. But so much of it rings a bell with you because you have gone through it already. You walked through it first so that you could be the teachers and the masters. Now, it is time to bring in Adamus to continue the series, The Freedom of the Soul. It's time to bring in Adamus to address this group and share his experiences with you. So we will take this brief pause, and we ask all of you to take a deep breath and to bring this beloved being into your energetic space. I am. Yes, I am. The energy of Adamus, Saint-Germain, back together with Chambra. Perhaps you'll notice that my energy is a bit different today than it has been. Not only because Tobias has asked me to bring it in a smoother way, but because I am not just the Adamus that you met 2 months ago. I am not just the Saint-Germain that has been written about in the I Am series. I am not just the entity who is trapped in the crystal. I am all of these things. You see, on our side of the veil, we believe in playing. We're not locked into one role or one identity for the most part. So we play. We can present ourselves in different ways to you. Today I come in differently than 2 months ago or 1 month ago of time, and I ask you to feel the difference in the energy. I ask you to feel how we're all working on this together. As was said before, I needed to come in very strongly several months ago to help break you out of the trance state, to help shake things up a bit. It was a role I was playing. It's a wonderful thing if humans could play, could do more role-playing with each other, with yourselves. But yet, you get so caught up in your identity and reality that you don't even want to role-play. Act out. When you have your Chambra meetings, act out. Play different roles and different stories. Then you'll begin to see how easy it is to move in and out. We do that all the time on our side. Someone who had crossed over quite recently said to us when they discovered what we're really about, I said, isn't it untrue to play all these different roles, to change your energy so much? And we had to laugh and said, it is being untrue to yourself when you're locked into one identity. Can you be many? Can you wake up each day with a new identity and a new role to play? It is a wonderful thing to be an actor on this stage of the 3D. On our side of the veil, we're not locked into an identity. I'm not Saint Germain here. I am more Adamus than anything. That is more of a complete name. But we play, we role play back and forth. And we encourage you to do the same. You begin to understand it's all a game. It's all illusion, and it's all phenomenal, a phenomenal part of creatorship. But see, you even act odd and peculiar about role-playing, most of you, unless you've been trained in this. When you're asked to role-play, to go outside of your identity, you feel very uncomfortable. You feel stupid. You feel you're making a fool of yourself. You don't even know how to act. So I'm going to challenge some of Chambra to start role-playing schools. Do it for the young. Do it when they're young so they learn not to get trapped into these energy structures. Do it for the sick so they learn that they don't have to stay in that illusion of being diseased in the body or the mind. Do it with those who are depressed. Do role-playing with those who are depressed. It will help get them out of their depression. It will help them to see how silly it was to be caught up in such a low energy. You should all role act. Stand in front of the mirror when you get up in the morning. I would, if I could see myself. And I do have a sense of humor. Probably grander and somewhat wiser than Tobias's, but... But it was a role I was playing with you. A role I was playing. I played a role with Godfrey when I worked with him many, many years ago, the Ballards, of course. When I worked with them a long time ago, I played a role that was important at the time. What you hear and see and perceive now is more of a true representation of the energy of Adamus, but I can change that also. You see, I'm a master illusionist. I can sit in the group with you. I can walk with you down the street. I can ride with you in the car. I can change my identity. One moment, I can be a chipmunk or a squirrel. The next, I can be a human who happens to appear out of nowhere into your life for a brief moment and then walk out, you see. A master illusionist, and that is what I'm asking all of you to do. To put on your illusionist hats. To change your story. Get up in the morning, stand in front of the mirror, and be someone else. You try so hard to be you, and you hurt some days. You try to make that hair look just like it did yesterday. You try to make your face look like it did the day before. You look at your body and you are distressed to see that it is changing, and change is the most wonderful thing. You see, you are trying to solidify yourself in that story, but the story, even the story, doesn't want to be the story any longer. Even the story that defends you and protects you and supports you knows that it is time for it to be released from its structure. Every energy ultimately has to be free of a structure. Every energy has to soar. Every energy has to be able to expand. As Tobias says, energy seeks resolution, fulfillment, and freedom. You've trapped energy in this illusion, in this body, in your identity. And it's time to get out of that. Role play. Act. Be different. Change your name many times. We chuckle about that, but there's another story. Be different. Gather together in your groups. You're so shy and timid with each other, and you get into these intellectual discussions. Some of your groups I have a hard time attending. The pontification. The intellectualization. It's overwhelming. Role play. Take on different identities. Assume a different name. You'll begin to see how easy it is to shape and shift energy. And that's all this is about. You'll be able to see how easy it is to walk out of your body. When you begin to understand energy for what it is, a potential that is waiting to serve you, that's when you'll pull gold out of your pocket where only stones were before. That's where you will be able to command a disease back into balance, where you'd be able to work out the flaws in anything if you choose. Energy is like clay or Play-Doh for some of you. It can be formed and shaped. It can do anything to serve you, but ultimately it needs to be set free once again. This is Creatorship 101. 101. You are creators. You are God also. So let all of your creations free when we are done with our gathering today. Let them all free. Open the birdcage and let them all go. Oh, yes, some of it will bring sadness, and you will feel so sad to have your story leave. But you're going to feel happier when that story reshapes itself and the energy transmutes itself and comes back to you in ways you couldn't possibly imagine. I love working with Chambra. I love working with Tobias. Such an exciting time. Such a wonderful time to be on Earth and also to be here at the same time. I have to tell a little bit of a story about Tobias. for he likes to tell stories about us. As you know, Tobias had many, many lifetimes on earth. The one in particular where he was Tobit, or also known as Tobit, or Tobias, from the book of Tobit, is one where we knew him well. I actually would watch him, so to speak. I did not have physical eyes at the time, but I would view him from our dimensions. I would watch him. Now, some of you understand, perhaps, that, Caldra gets a bit tight about things. Now, Tobias was very tight about things. I believe there is an expression on Earth right now, something to do with AR or something retentive. Tobias was very retentive in his lifetime. Tobias was very stuck and very stubborn, and he's amused also as I tell this story, for he knows where we're going. He was very devout, a devout Jew who followed the book to the letter of the law, served God from the moment he got up in the morning until the time he went to bed, and served God in his dreams as well. He was devout. Even though the tribe of Israel was enslaved by the Babylonians at the time, he still loved God with all of his heart. But he was so very stuck in his ways. He felt the way to heaven was through the rules that others had laid down. The way to heaven was through the church. He refused to look at anything else. Oh, a wonderfully devout man. The type of church member most churches would envy to have. He gave of his time and of his money. Every moment he would think to himself, is this what God would want of me? Is this what God would ask of me? How can I better serve God? He actually became a bit crazy about it. He'd be seen walking down the streets, talking to himself, his arms flailing in the air, talking to himself like he was channeling. Always talking to God, always judging himself, always wondering if this was the best thing he could do to serve God. So this got him very stuck in his own energy. Of course, one of the things that Tobias loved to do in serving God was to bury the dead Jews, the ones who had been killed by the Babylonians, ones who were left laying on the street as a sign to the other Jews not to get out of line. So Tobias would find their bodies, and even though it could mean death for him, he knew that God would want him to bury that body in the ground. He became very tired and very angry having to do this all the time. But he felt this is what God wanted. He felt that God had assigned him to this task. So one day he came across a body lying in the street. He picked it up in his arms, and he carried the body of this dead man up to the top of the hill, away from the village where he wouldn't be seen. And he was very angry with what was going on. Underneath, he was also angry with God for even allowing this to happen. But he would never let on to God that he was angry. He took a shovel in his hand, laid the body down on the ground, took the shovel in his hand, and began digging and digging. Pretty soon the sun began to set, and he was still digging, and he was so angry and so filled with energy, he was flinging the dirt over his shoulder up to the earth above. And he kept digging and digging well into the night, totally forgetting about the body that was laying up above, totally forgetting how deep he had gone down into the hole, so angry, dirt flying 10 meters, 20 meters, 30 meters over his head under the ground above. And at one point he became so tired and so exhausted and thirsty, he stopped for a moment and realized he just dug himself into the ground and he had no way up. No way up at all. Of course, we sat laughing on the other side, even though it wasn't funny to him, but we sat laughing at this beautiful metaphor of how Tobias, the devout one, had dug himself into his own hole, completely forgetting about his task of burying the dead. completely forgetting about what he was there for. But he just dug himself deeper and deeper and deeper. Now, when he finally realized what had happened, he became very frightened. He knew he couldn't climb up the sides because the mud was wet. He would slip and fall back down. He knew no one could hear him because now he was 30, 40 meters below the top of the ground, and his voice would be lost. And he was far away from the village. He knew the only tool that he had was his shovel. But his shovel is the tool that got him into trouble in the first place. What could he do now? He sat and thought and thought and thought and got nowhere. And he was thinking about the things in life he truly did enjoy. That extra glass of wine at night. The songs that he would hear coming from houses early in the morning. Taking long walks out into the desert. Going along the Tigris River. Putting his feet in the water and enjoying that connection to Gaia. Those are the things he loved. And he thought about all the great things of being a human on Earth. But then he thought, how do I get out of this hole? He was in there for 3 days calling out to God. Getting angry each time he called to God and did not get an answer. Called out to his ancestors, for he figured truly his ancestors would have the answer for him. But his ancestors couldn't hear him either. He got angrier and angrier. More frustrated and more frustrated. Could not figure how to get out of the hole that he dug himself into. To make a long story short, the dog of his young son, Tobias Jr., knowing that he had dug himself in the hole but leaving him down there for a few days to think about it, came along one day, peered over the top of the hole, and saw old Tobias down at the bottom, nearly starving, frustrated, angry. The dog did have a few chuckles to himself. The dog proceeded to walk down along the side of the hilltop where Tobias had dug himself into. Took about an hour of time digging straight into the side of the hill, only a matter of about a half a meter, creating an opening for Tobias to come out. Chambra, this is somewhat a true story, not totally. We exaggerate to help make a point here. Sometimes you just don't see how to get out of your own hole that you dig for yourself. Sometimes you forget that there is another way. Sometimes you become so trapped in your own belief systems, you like Tobias, think there's only an up or a down. Sometimes you have only one tool at your disposal, or so you think. And that tool is what gets you in deeper and deeper all the time. But here it is that all the way along, Tobias could have dug sideways rather than down. And in a matter of minutes, he would have been out of his own almost grave. Chambra, this is what you are going through right now. You are in your own reality system, and you are using tools from within that reality system to get out. Because that's all you know. It's all Tobias knew was his shovel and his mind. You could say that's all you know right now, your shovel and your mind in this lifetime. You're trying to use tools from this reality to get out of this reality. And like Tobias, you're just going to dig yourself in deeper. So, let's talk for a minute about your belief systems. Let's take an inventory of your belief systems. As we create this space now, think to yourself about your beliefs. Your beliefs about who you are. take a moment to reflect on who you are and what you believe. It's interesting, as you get into your belief systems, you find that there are many contradictions within the beliefs. There are also many layers in the beliefs. There are many distinctive layers. One layer of your operating belief system is the one you have to use to function, to get by in the world. You have to believe that things like that you are spiritual. You have to believe that you can operate in everyday society. You have to believe that you are somewhat intelligent. You have to believe that you are somewhat normal. You have to believe that you are somewhat good in order to get by. So you set up this layer of belief systems. It's the first layer. It allows you to simply get up each day and handle all the things that come your way. You punch in that level of belief systems. Just smart enough. Just energetic enough. Just good enough. These things allow you, or have allowed you, to function. There's another set of belief systems beneath that. Some of them may appear to be a contradiction. The belief system that you're really not very smart. You struggle with that at times. You know, you can put up a facade for being smart, but then you wonder deep inside, am I really very smart? And then you meet someone who really is smarter than you, and it blows your smart facade right out the door. Some of you have a belief system that you're ugly. Some of you have a belief system that you're fat. Some of you believe that you're really not good at all, but you're faking it. You believe that you're really a rotten person underneath. But somehow you've managed to put on this illusion of being good. You're afraid of that rotten part of yourself. You're afraid of what you might just do if you were given total freedom. What you would do if you were given total abundance. You're afraid of what you would do if you had a super high intellect. So you carry around this underlying belief system that maybe you aren't really so good after all. You believe that really you're not even very good looking, but if you clothe yourself right and comb your hair right, perhaps you can fake out yourself and the rest of the world. You have another set of belief systems, another layer, that you truly are a spiritual being, but you're just totally lost. You have a belief system that you really are God, but God is really messed up today. Some of you have a belief system that everything is perfect somewhere in the universe. You just don't know where it is. You do anything to find out where it is. Some of you believe that there are no accidents and everything makes sense. But why hasn't it visited you in your life? Indeed, Tobias, I can make them laugh. So you have these many, many different layers of belief systems. They cross through each other, cross on top of each other, much like different layers in the ocean, different currents. Some move through each other, some are right on top of each other. These are all operating simultaneously. They are activated, brought into reality, depending on your circumstance, depending on what is happening in your life, what is going on. You quickly bring them up. If you have a few quiet moments, you revert more to the high-level spiritual beliefs. But even with all of those various belief systems pulled in at various times to help you, You really wonder if you have any beliefs at all, if anything is out there at all, if this is all just a game, if any of this is real, if anything exists beyond this dimension. You have all of these things, Chandra, all of these things working. Some of them work directly through the mind. They're stored in the mind, activated by the mind, empowered by your mind, some of these belief systems. Others are at deeper inner levels within you. Some come from what we call the one chakra. Some of the belief systems are being fed in like rivers feeding into the ocean, fed in from other lifetimes, fed in from conscious, mass consciousness. So you have this myriad of belief systems all around you. We're going to ask you to be very cognizant of every belief system between now and the next gathering. How it works, how it operates. We're not going to ask you to try to change it, do anything with it, but just be aware. What you're going to begin to see is a whole grid or weaving or matrix of belief systems, how they shape reality, how they cause reaction, how they make you do what you do, how they literally form energy, and it is quite a beautiful thing. It is amazing, amazing to be at the point where you're coming at. We're no longer just in the reality, no longer the judge of the reality, but the observer of the reality that you are creating. That is where you're going, the observer of the reality you are creating. You see, the observer doesn't get lost in it. The observer can go in and out of their creations. The observer can walk in and out at any time. Coming to the point, you're feeling it now where you're beginning to be the observer of everything that you create. Now, we're going to take you on a little bit of a trip today, with your permission. We've done this with a few small Chandra groups to give them the taste, to help work with them in setting the energy. We have prepared on our side of the veil 4 rooms for you to visit today. We have prepared this with the guidance and the assistance of these other Chandra groups that we have been with. They are, in a sense, they're waiting for you at the doorway to help escort you into the rooms. Now, how do we do this? We do this with the imagination. We don't want to use force. We don't want to push it. We simply want to use imagination. We're going to go visit 4 rooms today. We're going to ask you to feel the energy in each one of these rooms. So, we're going to start in this reality base that we're in right now, here on Earth, in your physical body. We're not going to leave the body. We're going to expand the reality base. You see, there's a big difference. We don't want you leaving the body. We're going to expand the reality base. So take a deep breath in this now moment, fully cognizant and aware of the reality that you are residing in, all the attributes. Feel the air around you. Feel how your body is reacting. Feel any sensations, hear anything. Simply be the observer of your reality base. I'm going to ask you now to go with us, expand with us into the first room that we have prepared. Other Chandra from these previous small groups are there to greet you at the door. We open the door and we walk into the room together. The energies in the room here are very specific. They have been prepared for you. I'm going to ask you to feel the energies of this room. Take a deep breath. Simply feel the energies of this room. Now, We must walk out of the room, come back to this reality base, bring our energy fully back into this reality base, fully back here. In this room, the energies that were put in here are strictly that of Chambra, the essence of Chambra in the room. That is all that was there, the essence of Chambra. Now, from this reality base that we are sitting in right now, we're going into another room. Expand your energy out. Come with me. Chambra from the previous groups are there to greet you at the door. And let us walk into that room and be aware of all the energies going on. Feel the energies in this room we are sharing. Be aware of everything going on. And let us now come back to this reality base. Let us leave the room. And let us come back to the 3D reality base. In this room, we're put the very specific energies of the crystalline structure that I was stuck in for a long time. I've made it sort of a shrine to myself. You felt the very crystalline energies of this illusion that I had been stuck in. I personally helped put them in the room so that you could feel them today. Let's take a deep breath in the 3D reality base. Let us prepare to expand our energies now to go to the fourth room. Let us walk into that room. Energies have been specifically prepared. Let's bring our energy back into the 3D reality base, fully present in your human reality. In that room were placed very specific energies of a non-physical reality center called Arcturus. Many of you are familiar with it. Many of you have passed through it or been there before. But it is a non-physical place called Arcturus. And here is what we have talked about before, the stage for the entire Camelot play that is acted out in the non-physical realms, the stories of King Arthur, and how they relate to humanity, how they relate to what we are doing on our side. Let us breathe in the 3D reality base prior to going to the fourth and final room. Let's be fully present in this reality base. And now let us journey to the fourth and final room. Walk in and feel all of the energies of this room. A very special room that has been prepared for you. Let us bring our energies back to the 3D reality base now. Breathe in deeply. In this fourth and final room that was prepared, the one we just visited, we created a type of environment that made it so that there was absolutely no energy and no feeling in the room. There was nothing. we created a nothingness. So we just went through four rooms together, each with a very distinctive feel. We know many of you are disappointed in yourselves. You flunk Psychic 101. And that is exactly what we were trying to do with you. You see, many times you tried to use 3D tools to understand things that are not in the 3D. As I was sitting here watching all of you, even you who are connected, you were using your minds. And that's all you were doing. You were trying to figure out what was in the rooms. And this isn't a guessing game. It's a feeling game. You're trying to pull out old tools that you have used in past lives. Some of you who were witches and warlocks. You were trying to think your way into it, and it could not be done. And this is where you run into trouble, Chambra. You're trying to use the mind. You're trying to be a psychic, and it won't work. Not where we are going. Do you understand that? You cannot use a shovel to get yourself out of a hole. You can't use your brain to get yourself out of the illusion that you are in. You have been hypnotized. You have allowed yourself to be hypnotized. You have placed yourself in this trance state. You have placed yourself in the story. And that is a beautiful thing, but it is time to get out. Like the story of Tobias, you can't get out using 3D tools, and that is what you are still trying to do. You're playing guessing games, trying to think your way out of this, and you can't. You can't. The tools for feeling what was in those rooms do not exist in your 3D. They exist in your reality, but not in your 3D. Not in your human consciousness. The tools are all around you, but you haven't called them into your reality yet. You're still struggling, you're still forcing, you're still trying to use old energy to move out of old energy, and it doesn't work, period. You can't think your way out of the hypnosis. It won't work. You're going to dig yourself deeper. You're going to hypnotize yourself even deeper if you do. That's what you've been doing, Chambra. Thinking your way out. We listen to some of these incredible intellectual conversations that you have, and it's surprising that your hole isn't even deeper. We hear some of the things that you think because you have forgotten how to feel. We just gave you four examples of how deeply you have forgotten how to feel. And you beat yourself up and you say, I wasn't even close in wondering what was in the room. Or some of you manipulated, said, well, I thought perhaps that I felt maybe the energy, and you didn't, and we know it. We're going to stop playing the old game. You can't use the tools from this reality to get out of it. But there are ways. You can't meditate or medicate yourself out of the reality. Some of you try. That is why Tobias has said, stop meditating. It's a struggle, and you're digging yourself in deeper. You have come to believe it's the right thing to do, so you do it, and it doesn't work. You only get locked in even more. You can't think your way out. Your mind was never designed for that. You can't fight your way out. Because as you try to fight your way out of the reality lock that you are in, it locks it even tighter. The more opposition there is to an energy, the more the energy solidifies itself, you see. When you get angry, when you get upset and you try to fight your way out, you already know what happens. The energy resists even more. You're even more locked in. You can't pray your way out. Tobias found that out in his hole. He tried praying and praying and praying. All he was doing was reinforcing an old belief system about a judgmental God. You can't pray your way out of this reality. You can't wish your way out. Wishing is hopeful thinking. Thinking is bad enough, but when it's just hopeful thinking, it creates even a stronger web that will hold you in even tighter. You can't buy your way out, of course. Some of you have tried. You can't philosophize your way out, because philosophy is wonderful, but it's also based in 3D. You're using 3D tools to try to get yourself out. Shambhara, it's not going to work. And you found that out. You found that out. So, we're here to talk about what does work. We're here to talk about how you do transcend the illusion that you are in. We're going to tell you, first of all, that the way exists. It is not beyond you. It is already within you. It is within you, but it doesn't exist in a reality that you are familiar with right now. So we're telling you that there's the tool. It is already there. We're going to go one step further. This will really cause some of you to stress your thinking. You have already walked out of your reality base. You've already walked out of your body, and you already can transmute any energies into other energies. It's already been done by you. Now you are just walking through the process to understand how you got there in the first place. We don't want you to over-contemplate this. We don't want you to think. We just want you to feel it. We want you to feel that energy. You have already gone beyond. Now you are just going through the conscious process to help you understand how you did it in the first place. When I was entombed in my own crystal for 100,000 years, when I realized I couldn't fight my way out, couldn't beg my way out, couldn't force, couldn't pray, couldn't do any of these things, I was so trapped. And it finally dawned on me that I had already given myself the tools. Otherwise, why would I have walked into that room in the temples in the first place? I wouldn't have walked in there without already knowing the full setup, already giving myself the tools. I just happened to forget the tools because I was so trapped in the crystal. You have forgotten the tool because you are so trapped in your reality. It's time for that to change. The tool is there. It is directly in front of you, much as I was directly in front of the dear one last month. It is there. How do you get at this tool? It doesn't exist in the 3D. You can't see it. You can't touch it. You can't hear it. So how do you know it's there? How do you know what I speak is a truth? You can feel it, Chambra. You can feel it. In order to do so, it requires something that I had to learn to do also when I was entombed in the crystal. I had to get to a point of total and complete trust in myself. Total. As I said in our last gathering, I had to be so willing to let go of everything 100%. Total trust in self. Now, you say, but I already knew that. But what you were doing is you were still looking to the outside for trust. You were still looking to the outside for validation. I'm speaking here of total trust in yourself, not God, because you don't even begin to know what God is. How can you trust something that is just an old belief system? a total trust in yourself, an implicit 100%. Give everything trust in yourself. Some of you go there at times in trying to understand the level of trust in self. Some of you get close, but you haven't gotten all the way there. Total trust. Now, that raises issues. How can you trust something that you feel has betrayed you or you don't understand? How can you trust yourself when you don't know who you are? Well, that is the irony. That is the beauty of this whole thing. You are being put in a position now to have to trust yourself. Not yourself as in your limited story, but yourself as God also. You have to love yourself. I had to learn to love every part of me when I was trapped in the crystal. It's easy to love someone else, by the way. It's easy to love outside things. I found it to be the most difficult thing ever to love myself. But I knew that was the only way out. I had to love everything I had ever done. I had to love everything about me. It is hard to look at yourself sometimes with the eyes of love. Sometimes it feels uncomfortable giving yourself love. You've been trained in a belief system that says you shouldn't love yourself. You have been trained and hypnotized in this whole fear of letting the ego get out of control. That is an illusion. That is an illusion, Chambra. That is a fearful belief system that holds you back. Tobias has said the ego is nothing other than the dream factory, your story maker of who you are. Now you have to move beyond limiting the ego. We say, let the ego soar. Oh, it brings up issues. What if I let my ego soar? I'm going to be out of control. I'm going to be a monster. There we go again with old belief systems. Some of you are even thinking, oh, if I let my ego go, I'll be such a boor at parties. I'll never stop talking. That is a different type of thing. We're asking you to love everything about yourself. Intellectually, you understand what I'm talking about. Emotionally, you have never done it. You know the energy behind the words, love yourself, but you don't practice them. Can you be intimately in love with yourself, unashamed? Can you love everything about yourself? As I said earlier, every aspect, every part and piece of you wants to rejoin you, has to rejoin you right now. You see, that's the other thing. You can't do this with any piece left behind. No one left behind. You have to incorporate every aspect, every past life, every thought. Now, some of you are thinking this is going to take a long time to inventory. Every thought, you say? My gosh, how will I remember? It is not coming from the mind. It is coming from the heart, the pure, unadulterated love. Now, this was going to be a very challenging time for some of you. We have a percentage in mind, but Tobias is asking us not to share. When it comes to having to trust and love yourself, you're going to find every reason to avoid doing it. We're going to help you with that because we know how important it is for you. We're going to work with you, your total beingness. If you can't find the time to love and to learn to trust yourself, we'll help you create it. We'll help that job disappear so you have plenty of time. We'll help your family set you out the door so that you have time. Oh, yes, you say, what a difficult thing. Why are they so hard on us? Because you have asked us to be. You have asked that this is the time and the place and the space to do this. But you don't have to go to those extremes. You can learn to trust and to love yourself. right now. It's also about opening up, getting outside of that story that you're in. It's not about diminishing the story or getting rid of it. Some of you think that's what we are saying. Releasing is freeing the story, not getting rid of it, not hiding it. You can never, never successfully hide energy. Sooner or later, it comes back up. We are asking you to release from the structure that it has been placed in. We're asking you to take off all limitations about everything within you. Limitations on the way you think. Limitations of what you think is up or down. Limitations that you have about wealth. Limitations of energy. We're going to ask you to open up. Now, this gets a bit scary also, because you live in a world that has to function in limitations. It has to have parameters. It insists on its own limitations in order to exist. And we're going to ask you to step out of that. It's going to feel odd at times, uncomfortable and unnatural. We're going to ask you to go beyond in everything that you do from now on. And we're going to be there encouraging you, nudging you, and perhaps a little bit more than that at times, to live beyond, to live beyond. So it is about trust. It is about loving yourself. It is about living beyond. With those basic things, Chambra, this is going to be easy. This is going to be easy. You see, that tool, that key that you gave yourself is going to come soaring back into your life. The knowingness is going to come to you. We cannot explain it here. We cannot say that there is a specific thing that you have to do. But the knowingness, the remembrance is going to come to you. With that trust and with that love and with no limitations, living without limits, you're going to be able to do exactly as I do. Walk in and out. Walk in and out. You're going to be able to transmute energy in any way you want. You have to remember that the work of the masters is easy. Getting there sometimes is difficult. The ability to shape and shift energy is very easy. Sometimes you've been focusing on the wrong things. Sometimes you've been focusing on the miracles. You've been trying to be psychics. All you have been doing is reinforcing your story. Building your story bigger, building your hole even deeper. It's time to move beyond that. We're going to ask now, and you don't have to give an answer now, but we're going to put out the question now. And we want you to ponder for a moment here before you give the answer. We're going to ask if you now give permission in your life for us to work with you, for you to go beyond where you've ever gone before, while you're in physical form. I'm going to ask you if you give permission now to live beyond. That could mean letting go of anything and or everything. You can't hold anything behind, Chambra. Nothing. You have to be willing to let it all go. When we ask you in just a moment here, for permission to work with you in living beyond, it could mean things in your life are going to truly change, drastically change. You have to understand that you are creating this. You may not totally understand it right now, but you are creating it. I'm going to ask you, if you give permission for yourself to be fully trusting of you, fully loving of you, and living beyond anything you have ever known, with it will come changes. We guarantee that. You don't have to cross this line, and you don't have to cross it now or later. You can choose to do it now. You can hold off. This isn't a test and it's not a contest. This is about asking you if you're ready to get out of your own crystalline prison, your own illusion. It's going to bring up fears for some. It's going to bring up exhilaration for others. It's going to bring up issues. Yes, it could mean, for those who just asked, yes, it could mean leaving behind your physical body. Are you willing to do that? Are you ready to do that? It could mean giving up anything or everything, a loved one, a personal possession, a dear pet. We're not telling you you have to get rid of anything. We're simply saying, as you give permission, things will change. The things that truly are ready to leave your life will. The things that are energetically needing to be released will then be released. There's not a timetable on this. For some, you might notice a difference in weeks or months. Others, it may be many years. But are you willing to do that? We're coming now to our point of permission, point of acceptance. We're going to sit together in the safe space and the safe energy. If you choose to come forward, Calder is saying this sounds like a revival meeting. We don't mean that literally. This is metaphorically. If you're choosing, if you are giving permission to live beyond, you'll be greeted by several angels. You aren't going to be able to think them or psychic them in your mind. It's going to be feeling them in your heart. You'll be greeted by them. They're going to begin working with you. If you are not sure yet, that is all right. Another group of angels will come simply to sit with you, simply to discuss issues. If you want nothing to do with that, you are dearly loved. There's no judgment on our part. This is where we do, Chambra, take a different fork in the road at this point. There are some who will drop out more than what you've seen recently. Others who are ready to go beyond, to live beyond. So, let us sit here in this space. You be in your moment. We will respond to you. Dear Chambra, do you choose and give permission to live beyond? We will keep this space open. We will keep this space very sacred so that you can come back and visit it anytime. You can come into this space and feel its energy. You can come back in here. If you're not sure yet about your decision, you can come back in at any time to visit. You can make your decision, your choice, to live beyond at any point you choose. There's not a timetable on it. But as we do say, you are taking that step. You are walking out of the old way. Remember the time that we spent here today, Chambra. It's not only about you. It's about the others who come this way in search of their own true identity, their own spiritual nature, and the understanding of the God within. Remember the time we spent here together today talking about the story of Tobias digging his hole deeper and deeper because he was trying to use tools that were within his reality. The tool of the shovel, which only got him deeper. Remember that we said you have to use tools that are outside of your current reality. They exist. They are there. They are so ready to come in to be with you. But they're outside your reality. Remember the four rooms we visited. Remember a little bit of trickery going in there. You were trying to use your old mind and your old ways, and these rooms were designed for feeling and imagination and the new energy. One of the rooms had no energy at all. Remember that it was to help you to understand, to go to a different place. Get out of your mind. Go into the feeling. Go into the one chakra at the center of your beingness now. It is time to live beyond the mind, to live beyond the body, and to live beyond your limitations. I am Adamus Saint-Germain.